Mrs. Nixon had gone an hour and a half before his return, Mary told him. Darnell sighed with relief, and he and his wife strolled out into the garden and sat down side by side. They kept silence for a time, and at last Mary spoke.
I must tell you, Edward, that Aunt has made a proposal which you ought to hear.
A proposal?
I think we should consider it.
But how about the whole affair? Is it still going on?
Oh, yes. Uncle is quite unrepentant. It seems he's taken a flat somewhere in town for that woman and furnished it in the most costly manner. He simply laughs at Aunt's reproaches and says he means to have some fun at last. You saw how broken she was.
Yes, very sad. But won't he give her any money? Wasn't she very badly dressed for a woman in her position?
Aunt has no end of beautiful things, but I fancy she likes to hoard them. She has a horror of spoiling her dresses. It isn't for want of money, I assure you, as Uncle settled a very large sum on her 2 years ago, when he was everything that could be desired as a husband. And that brings me to what I want to say. Aunt would like to live with us. She would pay very liberally. What do you say?
Would like to live with us.
Darnell's pipe dropped from his hand onto the grass. He was stupefied by the thought of Aunt Marion as a boarder, and sat staring vacantly before him, wondering what new monster the night would next produce.
I knew you wouldn't much like the idea, but I do think, dearest, that we ought not to refuse without very serious consideration. I'm afraid you did not take to poor Aunt very much. I thought you didn't. She was so upset, poor thing, and you didn't see her at her best. She is really so good. But listen to me, dear. Do you think we have the right to refuse her offer? I told you she has money of her own, and I'm sure she would be dreadfully offended if we said we wouldn't have her. And, well, what would become of me if anything happened to you? You know we have very little saved.
It seems to me that it would spoil everything. We are so happy, Mary dear, by ourselves. Of course I am extremely sorry for your aunt. I think she is very much to be pitied. But when it comes to having her always here...
I know, dear. Don't think I'm looking forward to the prospect. You know I don't want anybody but you. Still, we ought to think of the future. And besides, we shall be able to live so very much better. I shall be able to give you all sorts of nice things that I know you ought to have after all that hard work in the city. Our income would be doubled.
Do you mean she would pay us £150 a year?
Certainly. And she would pay for the spare room being furnished. And any extra she might want. She told me, specially, that if a friend or two came now and again to see her, she would gladly bear the cost of a fire in the drawing room, and give something towards the gas bill, with a few shillings for the girl for any additional trouble. You see, Edward dear, it's not the sort of offer we're likely to have again. Besides, do you know Aunt took a great fancy to you?
Oh.
And, you see, it isn't as if we should see so very much of her. She will have her breakfast in bed, and she told me she would often go up to her room in the evening directly after dinner. I thought that very nice and considerate. She quite understands that we shouldn't like to have a third person always with us. Don't you think, Edward, that, considering everything, we ought to say we will have her?
Oh, I suppose so. As you say, it's a very good offer, financially, and I am afraid it would be very imprudent to refuse. But I don't like the notion, I confess.
I am so glad you agree with me, dear. It won't be half as bad as you think. And putting our own advantage on one side, we shall really be doing poor Aunt a very great kindness.